Hey, we are back. That long gong tells you it's time for Kung Fu Theater. My name's Matt, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius, long gong. Yeah, okay.
Last week I did a solo show and I just talked about Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, you did?
And all okay. Yeah, I just did like a whole movie review show. Obviously, I'm well versed in the Van
Damme-a-thon,
yeah.
And this week we had, this is Kung Fu Confusion again.
Kung Fu Confusion.
Because we watched two Bruce Lee movies, but unbeknownst to me, these movies were retitled. Yeah. So I picked Fist of Fury.
Well, I was confused when you said, oh, we watched different ones, because I was like, you sent me the link.
I did. But what happened was I sent you the link, but I go, oh, wait a minute. This movie's now on El Rey, uh-huh. And it's going to look a lot better than the YouTube version, so I'll just watch it on El Rey. Good move on my part. These movies were retitled, so I watched was originally called in the U.S. The Chinese Connection,
yep.
And what you watched was originally called Fist of Fury, but the reality is the one that you watched was The Big Boss,
yeah.
And the one that I watched was supposed to be called Fist of Fury.
The one... And it's weird because I actually ended up watching it off YouTube to watch on my TV, but then I was like, I have it on disc. The disc I have has Chinese Connection on one side, Kung Fu, Fist of Fury on the other. So, yeah. The DVD I have of Fist of Fury is such a just pan and scan. In the one fight scene, the tape goes out. And it's on the DVD. Like, the DVD has the tracking issues and the tape flutter and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, you cheap bastards.
That's why I watched it on El Rey, because El Rey was widescreen.
Oh, yeah, they didn't even clean it up. Nice. I'm like, you didn't even clean up, like, the tape
lag?
Yeah,
but did you watch, like, a cheapo tape of it, a DVD, or was it a big...
No, it's the $6.99.
Yeah, the better one... You'll probably get the real
something,
movie.
Man. You should. At least.
But it's like I didn't realize until today that these movies were screwed up titles, and I'm like, oh no! And I didn't have time to watch The Big Boss.
But hey, good news for you. Two for one. You got a BOGO.
Yeah.
Buy one Kung Fu movie review for $0.
Actually, you got a BOGO because this show's free. Anyway.
Get another one free. Although I did check in with I said, how's our numbers? How are we doing? We're doing good.
Kung Fu's doing good.
Kung Fu Theater is it. Thank you, all you listeners out there. I guess, you know, we're holding market. So,
yeah, yay! There we go. We're doing something right.
We're trying. Yeah. We're trying, folks. Trust us.
We've got this other show called Slow Robot A Go Go, which is a podcast on bunchofdorks.com, which yep. is similar, but not as much Kung Fu.
Yeah. Some. We always delve into Kung Fu at some point or another.
At some point, or some kind of Fu.
One week, I know we're going to each pick a Kung Fu movie, so we're going to, like, I know one week we're going to watch three Kung Fu movies, and we're going to get them all mixed up, and our brains are going to fall out.
Yeah.
But this week, it's all about the icon of the Kung Fu world, the man, the myth, the legend, Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee, the great, you know, Bruce Lee, yeah.
Historically, I think the icon that he has become is because he died young.
I think it was well deserved.
I mean, no, nothing against the guy, but it's like a James Dean kind of thing where has a small body of work and it's just become elevated more and more and more, and he's become more of an icon or cult figure than he is.
Well, in a way, because in the U.S. anyway,
yeah.
He was the first.
Oh, yeah. No, I
mean, they were making martial arts movies before, but he was the one that broke it open. He's the Beatles.
Right.
He's Elvis.
And again, I'm not being disparaging towards him. It's just his icon has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. He's Elvis, man. Yeah. There was rock and roll before him. Elvis made it into this worldwide. There was martial arts before. Bruce Lee
Elvis was
Elvis.
Even one of his pupils. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I started thinking about it because... I don't even know if Jeet Kune Do, which is his style of martial arts, is even
taught anymore.
Practiced anymore. I'm sure it is. Don't come after me with your dojo.
But wasn't his style like a non-style?
Yeah. So, and it was kind of, he made it up after he passed away, kind of just...
Yeah.
It wasn't recognized.
It was his style.
Yeah.
How could he teach it? He was gone. I mean, he taught it to like a few pupils many pupils in the U.S. I guess some of them are in these movies, actually.
Oh, yeah, of course, you know.
But yeah, I mean, he's Elvis of Kung Fu, but yep. You take it or leave it. I mean, you know, and then I think I read in the one that I watched, whatever, the big boss, what is it called? The one that you watched was actually called The Big Boss here. The one that I watched was called The Chinese Connection here.
Right.
And the one that I watched, Jackie Chan does show up in the movie. He's one of the extras that gets beat up by Bruce Lee. But you say you can't really see him unless you like blink really fast or whatever. But the one that you saw was the first one.
Yeah, and it was the one with the...
The one that I was the second
one. The iconic thing from this one is, and this is the one with it where they work in the ice mill, where they're just cutting ice and the guy's putting drugs in it. And the almost one of the most famous things about this movie was there's a video clip of him punching through ice that wasn't in the movie. And supposedly, if I'm getting this right, and I tried to go look it up, but I didn't get to it in time. Supposedly, this is the one where there was an extra that had a little bit of a disagreement with him,
and they fought off set,
but they kept the cameras rolling. So there's this footage of
Bruce Lee beating the crap out of somebody.
Bruce Lee and some guy going at it. Wow. I don't know who won, and that's the thing. You know, like there's a lot of stories of somebody getting a little bit like heavy handed, and then all of a sudden, Steven Seagal is actually fighting an extra, and they usually sometimes they lose.
That happens to all these guys.
Sometimes they lose. Steven Seagal got beat up by an extra on some set, because just because you're a black belt in your dojo does not mean you're tougher than some of these guys. And there's tough dudes in every bar and everywhere, you know.
Well, the story that I read on his Wikipedia page or whatever was that they were making a movie and some guy challenged Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee said, "All right, fine." Bruce Lee killed him, ate the crack out. After he beat the crap out of him, the guy's like laying there and he goes, like, "Get back to work." He didn't fire him, I think. He goes, "Just get back to work." And the guy just went back to work after he got the crap beat out of him. So and that might have been in Way, that might have been in Way of the Dragon. I think it was in Way of the Dragon, yeah.
One of the other things is these are all
apocryphal stories.
And I
but they're possible.
I think they're always leaked around the time, so it builds. I think it's fake PR, and I really don't know how much of it's true
it's
or not.
It's good for you know, in the publicity. It's like in the ad man. Oh yeah, by the way, did you know that DYI? Did you know that Bruce Lee actually beat a guy up in this movie?
And now they're like, oh, TMZ features Steven Seagal really got into a fight. Whatever. If they can sell, if they make a lie like that up and they sell 100 more tickets, that's 100 more tickets. It's all like a publicity machine. You can see where it probably would be real once in a while. Probably most
of it's
embellished.
It had to have happened at some point.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I think it gets embellished
in a
along the way.
Bar or somewhere. Yeah. I mean, you've heard stories of, like, actors at a bar or something when somebody's drunk coming up to them and, like, you're not that tough.
Well, athletes all the time. Why do you think there's NFL has 20 lawsuits a year where there's an altercation because somebody doesn't like the running back or someone doesn't like that team, and it's pretty easy to get a jockey guy into a fight. All you got to do is start cracking wise on their mama, and all of a sudden, drunk people are fighting. It's not a hard thing, so unfortunately, we see it all the time.
Alcohol
impairs your ability to make sound rational decisions. And trust me, kids, I know.
And what I have noticed about these movies, especially the modern day martial arts, is back then anyway, we're living in a fantasy world with rarely any guns, you know.
Oh yeah,
it's a fantasy world that everybody just fights with their hands, you know.
Or they'll like a lot of times, especially like the transporter and some of that, they have guns and they'll go boom, 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 click, and they throw the gun down and they just run at each other and then they just go to town and you're like, okay, you know, and that's fine. That's what you're paying the ticket for.
You don't want to see somebody just shot, done, end of movie.
You're like, wow, that was a quick movie. Wish I wouldn't have paid $4.
Fight and then, you know, whatever. So anyway, yeah, we got two
Bruce Lee movies.
Two Bruce Lee movies for the price of free.
Wow, can't beat that price.
All right,
we're going to take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to do your movie first. We'll go over, because I know
Fist of Fury 1 or 2. No, this was 2. This is the second movie.
I've seen them all, so I guarantee when you start talking about it, I'll be like, oh, I remember that, because you know, you can't help but see these movies. They're all the time.
They're the first ones you usually see.
Yup. All right, we'll be right back.
On a mysterious island in the South China Sea, there is a fortress without walls,
protected by an invincible army that needs no ordinary weapons. This is Enter the Dragon, the first martial arts film produced by a major Hollywood studio. John Saxon, U.S. Karate Champion Jim Kelly, and Black Belt Hall of Fame superstar Bruce Lee. Penetrate the secret chambers of Han's evil empire, discover its secret, and destroy. This is Enter the Dragon, where the world's greatest martial arts athletes meet the ultimate challenge with the most ancient and deadly of weapons, the human body. Enter the Dragon. From Warner Brothers, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All right, we are back, and that was, of course, Enter the Dragon, and then the most annoying
sound
in the world.
That's the one that El Rey didn't play.
I wonder why. Mula. Anyway, what did you watch this week?
Okay, the movie that I watched was called Fist of Fury on El Rey, but I think in the United States it was The Chinese Connection.
Yeah, that's what the DVD was called.
Because to capitalize on the French Connection, but it's not a drug movie. It's the classic standard. At the beginning of the movie, Bruce Lee comes back to the dojo and he finds out that there's a funeral. They killed his master.
I killed your master.
And he like flips out.
Daryl
Hannah. Like, yeah, right. He jumps.
That's right. I killed your master.
That's right.
Daryl Hannah doing that line was just like, she was so like snarky and jerky. I was like,
I laughed.
I was like, that's right. I killed your master.
So he's like, Bruce Lee's like flipping out, and he's like, he jumps on the coffin, and he's like, and he's like, come on, get out of there, and he won't get out. And then finally somebody that grabs a shovel and knocks him out. And then you find out that it's basically like the Japanese versus the Chinese schools, because they're back at the school, and they're going, what happened? Oh, we don't know. You know, he's dead, or he died or whatever. And all of a sudden the Japanese school comes in, and he goes, I have something to bring you. And he brings him this
scroll,
and it says, "You are the sick man of Asia," you know, saying that they're like, you know, like garbage or whatever.
Dogs, yeah.
And Bruce Lee's like, you can see it in his face. He's like, "I want to kill him." But
do you think in China they call that Japan-sploitation?
Yeah,
like instead of, because it's just a cheap way to, like, oh, we hate Japanese. Yep, they're Japanese.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's just Japan-sploitation.
I guess this was during the Japanese occupation of Shanghai
or whatever.
So, like, Bruce Lee wants to kick his butt, but the guy goes, no, don't do it. You know, we don't want trouble. You know, we just lost our teacher. We want our school to stay. And he's like, Rrr. And the guy's like, yeah, you are dogs and blah, blah, blah. Who wants to fight me? And nobody fights him because they don't want to get in trouble. And Bruce Lee wants it. So they go, all right, since you all are a bunch of sniveling dogs or whatever, we'll go now. But, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they leave. And Bruce Lee's like, you know, and the guy goes, I'm glad you didn't do it, blah, blah, blah. Don't do anything, you know, just chill out. You know, your master died, and we don't know what happened, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, he doesn't listen. So he takes off, and he shows up at the dojo. And, of course, and I think this is the first movie, at least Shannon Lee was the host of the thing. She goes, this is the first movie where he pulled out the chucks. This is one of the first nunchuck movies. So he goes to the dojo, and he's like, you know, here's your, bring him back your plaque or whatever. Here's what I think about it. And he breaks it, and he goes, and the guy goes, oh, well, now you've insulted us. And so he has to fight everybody. So, of course, it's like, there's like 20 people there. So he's like, kicks the main guy's butt, and then he kicks another guy's butt, and then the rest of them are coming out, and he pulls out the chucks, and he starts like
wailing on everybody.
He knocks everybody out. And he grabs the main guy, and he grabs the writing, you know, on the thing, and he crumbles it up, and he goes, you're going to eat this now. And he's like, shoves it down the two main guys' faces. And you're going to eat your words now. And he goes, this time you're eating paper. If you do it again, you're going to be eating glass or whatever. And he leaves. So now, like, the masters of the school find this out, and so they go and they demolish his school.
Right.
They beat everybody up.
Which, I, from what I understand, this does have some truth to it as far as schools challenging other schools and fighting. I think that's more of a glorified thing, But I do remember hearing of this. This did happen where they challenged open challenges to schools, and then if one school won, that's where all the students would go, kind of thing. You
know? Yeah.
So this is different. This is steeped in nationality. We hate the Japanese. This is Japanese exploitation.
Yeah, this is like the occupation or whatever.
Right, right, right.
So he comes back and he finds like a bunch of people. And he, what happened? He goes, well, you went and I told you not to go beat up the other school. You went and beat them up. And like, you know, and they came in. You're not supposed to do that. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. You know, they're really pissed off at you. They want to get you. You know, yeah, well, you know, you... I don't know if this is at this point he hides away or not, but anyway, so then that's going on. So he's in the school, and at night he's like going through the school, and he hears like people talking, and he goes to investigate it. And there's two guys that were the cooks of the school. They're talking, and he hears that they're the ones who poisoned the teacher. So he's like, oh yeah. So he freaking kills them both, and then he hangs them in the town square where everybody can see it. So the other school, the other guy, or the boss, or I forgot what he was. He finds out about it, and he goes, what the hell's going on here? Why are they? They're the guys in the school. Who killed them? He goes, it's probably that Chen guy or whatever. He goes, well, you better go get him or whatever, you know. And then like, you know, I think I'm screwing it up. And then that's when the school kicks the other school's butt.
Okay,
I'm screwing it up.
Something incited it. Then they went.
I'm screwing it up. And then basically, like, he kills another guy. And then the guys go, they call the cops. He goes, you better go and get this guy, because if you don't get him, we're going to close down your school. We're going to go, and it's going to be really bloody and really bad or whatever. Yeah. So the cops go in there, talk to the school. He goes, look, you got to stop this guy, because if not, we're going to close your school down, and it's going to be really bad. And now the cops are involved. So they go, fine. So he shows up. And they tell him, look, you got to hide out. You got to get out of here. They want us to give it. We don't want to do this. We're just going to pretend like you left. Take your, you know, you came here, you know, go back where you came from. The school will be fine, blah, blah. And he's like, and he's in love with the girl there too. So he's like, you know, he doesn't want to leave, but he really wants to get revenge on the guy. He goes, fine, I'll leave. So he does. And he just goes out in the woods and lives there. And there's one scene where he's eating some weird animal, like in the woods or whatever.
It's very rare when they don't have a love interest in these movies.
And she's the same woman that was in all three of these movies, Nora Miao or whatever.
Yeah, but not all kung fu movies. There's always like the doting love interest that's either going to be used as bait or is going to just be the one that holds them back or whatever. It's weird. There's always, like, they never don't have one, you know.
Yeah,
sure, there's some instances, but not many.
Yeah. So basically, like, he's out in the woods, and then he starts, like, pulling stunts where he's getting these disguises to find out information. He finds out information about some guys, and he starts killing, you know, the rival people up, you know what I mean? And in the meantime, they're retaliating against the school. And at some point, he's gotten rid of so many people that they're basically, you know, the cops go to the school and they go like, hey, you know, I mean, this is it. You know, this is it. Your school's going to be closed or, you know, or whatever, you know. So she ends up, the girl knows where he is. So she finds him and she goes, look, you got to come back to the school, blah, blah. And they talk to him and they go, look, you got to stop all this crap because, you know, that's it, the end, you know. And he goes, so what do you want me to do? He goes, like, the cop promised that he's not going to do anything to the school, but you have to turn yourself in. And basically they're going to just kill him or whatever. So at some point the cops show up while he's there. They have a fight or what. He had a couple of fights before he killed the gunfellow. He killed all the bad guys. As a matter of fact, he even killed the guys who other guys were involved in the killing of his master, where he kills everybody up and he's like back at the school and the cops show up and he's getting ready to kick all their butts. And they basically go, look, you either turn yourself in or this school gets closed. And that's it. You know, and he's like sitting there and he goes, do I really want to, like, you know, ruin what my master, you know, because he's all about the sensei. He's all about the master. Do I really want to ruin, you know, the school? And he goes, looks to the main cop and he goes, like, I could kick every one of your butts, but do I have your word of honor that if I turn myself in, you'll leave the school alone? Yeah. And the guy looks at him and goes, yeah, you have my word of honor. And he goes, all right. So, like, they walk him out, and as he's walking out, there's all a bunch of, like, cops out there with guns Blaze, and he's just walking out. All of a sudden, he like runs and jumps in the air, that famous jump.
Yeah.
And it freezes, and you hear, ba 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 ba. So, you know, they basically, he took one for the team, you know what I mean?
Literally.
Yeah, his main thing was he didn't want the school to be closed. And after he got all his revenge, the cops were like, you got too much blood on your hands, bro. You got to give it up, or, you know, we're going to close the school. And he figured he'd be honorable to keep the school open. So I screwed it up a lot because I watched it, like, you know, 10 days ago or whatever.
I know.
That's the basic gist of the story or whatever.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
And that was the one where he started choreographing more, they said. But, again, he had a problem with the director. His name was Lo Wei. In the first two movies, he didn't like him.
Yeah.
So by Way of the Dragon, the third one, he was taking... You know,
doing his own thing,
but it was a great movie, man. His presence was awesome. You know, he's like, Jackie Chan rivals him in a different way. Jackie Chan has a presence too, but a lot of the other guys, a different presence. Like, yeah. Bolo has a presence, but there was something about him, an intensity in his face. Like, he was almost like a silent movie actor in a way, the way he reacted to stuff.
Stoic and very, he's always the immovable object. Like, if you push on him, he won't move.
And he was so freaking fast, because this is not sped up. A lot of these movies sometimes are a little bit sped up.
From what I understand, they slow him down so you can see the punches in some of the scenes.
Yeah, he was
punches that fast that they actually slowed film down. So you could actually see the movements. Otherwise, it was just a blur. It was not translatable.
Yeah. But this is like this. According to her, this is the first one. I don't know if nunchucks were involved in martial arts, but this is the first one where he brought them out.
He used them, and he was very good with them. He was fast.
And then Way of the Dragon, she goes, in this one, you get two chucks. You know, because
I can do that.
He pulled out the two, and he wastes everybody with these.
I used to do that at the dojo sometimes when we'd have practice time, and I would just take two of them and just start going. And I was actually really fluid and good with them. And people used to just sit and watch, like, oh my God.
How many did you ever get? While you were practicing, did you ever take a few hits for the team?
No.
Oh, you were that good? Oh, I got hit myself a few times with those.
I did those early in life where I got hit a lot.
Well, that's what I mean. And early in life.
But I powered through them, and I was pretty good with them. I mean,
you should start off with soft chucks, maybe Nerf chucks.
If you have the wooden ones, you learn the quick lessons and you never do it again.
Yeah. So anyway, this movie is a great introduction to Bruce Lee. This is him and his prime, and you know, right before he became like, you know, superstar. But these were the first two movies that I remember seeing: Fist of Fury and The Chinese Connection.
Yeah, that's good movies.
So this was called The Chinese Connection in the United States.
One side note before we do go: I actually have a scar on my leg. I had a pair of nunchucks that I built in a hidden knife blade that you twist it and took the end off. And it was nunchucks, and then the other side was nunchuck with a knife blade. And as I was spinning them, it went, and I looked down, and
the
blood had gotten to my ankle. It went straight down my leg, and so it just went across my thigh. But I think I was channeling fights without knives spirit from Master of the Flying Guillotine, because I had a knife in my nunchucks. So there you go.
One thing you should do in the future when you're creating things, you should create a flying guillotine.
Oh, I'd love to. Keep it up. I will.
I dare you.
I dare you.
My school dares yours.
Oh, no. When we come back, we're going to go.
I'll give this movie an 8.
Well, yeah, you know, these are all.
Or a 9.
Yeah, or 100. Who cares? All right, we'll be right back.
Unleashed to wreak vengeance on the evil ones who brought about his untimely death. 5 years ago, Bruce Lee, king of Kung Fu and undisputed master of the martial arts, was buried, but not before making a deal with the Black Angel of Death. Now, his tormented soul returns as Bruce Lee fights back from the grave.
Damn you!
Is every contest, the fighters, the killers, the mobsters, the slime of the underworld, the bad and the beautiful. Bruce Lee fights back from the grave. mysteriously, through his immortal inner forces, Bruce Lee made a spiritual agreement with the invincible and unbeatable Black Angel of Death to free him from the torment and prison of his grave. Bruce Lee defeat the invincible and unbeatable, the Black Angel of Death? See if you dare. A supernatural action American movie starring Bruce Lee. The dragon never died. He was just waiting for the moment when he could return from the grave to seek revenge. Warning, due to the constant action seen in this picture, the producer requests that persons under 17 be accompanied by an adult. Lee fights back from the grave.
You gotta give me a ride. I'm way too big to drive to the devil's house.
Yeah.
Yep. South Florida driving during the break. All right. That was, of course, Bruce Lee Fights Back from the Grave.
Not starring Bruce Lee.
Because
he was in the grave.
He was honestly in the grave. Where is his grave? Or his
Hong Kong, I think.
Is it? Because I think they always have, like, isn't it always burning? One of those things where there's always the candles by it and all that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
You know how, like, sometimes they do that? Where
the eternal flame.
Yeah, the eternal flame thing. That's the word. Those are words that you use for
that. The eternal flame.
I should have done
that's a song by the band.
Should have done some show research as to where.
That's okay. I just pulled that one out of my.
I thought he was in California or something like that. Or Seattle.
Oh, maybe. Maybe it's in Seattle. That's where he was born, right? In Seattle?
I don't know.
Seattle.
No, he had not born in Seattle.
He was born in the U.S.
He was?
Yes.
Huh.
Well, let's look that up, by the way. Let's take a break.
Okay, hold on.
Let's take a pause.
Un momento, por favor. All right. More mysteries solved. You're here to learn, right? Bruce Lee was born in San Francisco in Chinatown. Then he was...
His family left back to Hong Kong.
Went back to Hong Kong, and he is interned at... Lakeview in Seattle. So we were kind of right on some stuff.
Well, Bruce Lee and Jimi Hendrix both were from that area. There.
Must be the water. So was the guy who killed himself, Nirvana. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway,
on to other things.
Bruce Lee did not die at age 27, though, did he?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
He was young.
He was in his 30s.
Yeah.
Because both Cobain and Morrison and all these people.
Janis Joplin.
Rock stars died at 27. Yeah. Wow. Even that lady a few years ago, what's her face?
Amy Winehouse?
Yeah, she died at 27 too.
Well, I beat all them. Cha-ching! I'm older than that. I don't know. Anyway, yes. I watched The Fist of Fury, which is the Big Boss. The Big Boss, I've seen this one before. I had downloaded it on... this is a funny thing. I went on YouTube and downloaded it. And I found one that says high quality. And it was twice as big, so I downloaded it. When I plugged it in, it was two times on this. It was like double...
I saw that. I saw some guy
and
with
I'm
that
like,
double image. Yeah.
And I was like, why is this a thing? So I just said, you suck. So I took that out and I put the DVD in. I have a DVD of the movie. And like I said, it was a pan and scan... to the point that the DVD had the tape flaws in it. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh my God, tracking was...
Oh my God, I paid $2 for that. And it's
tracking was going out, and it was like flipping around and everything. But anyway, this is a very... this incorporates one of my...
This is the first Bruce Lee martial arts movie.
It is? Okay, there you go. This incorporates one of my least favorite tropes of Kung Fu ever. And I hate it, and I really wish it would never have been a thing. Where the person you plunk down your hard-earned dollars to see fight has made a promise that they're never gonna fight. And that equals you're gonna sit there for 50 minutes of an hour and a half movie until he finally starts fighting.
Oh, you're gonna fight until halfway through the movie?
Because he made a promise to his mom, and remember your mom, and remember blip, blip, blip. So that, and this doting uncle is constantly going, remember, you shouldn't fight now. And you're like, oh, dang it. You know what I didn't pay money for? I didn't pay money to not see Bruce Lee fight. I paid money to see Bruce Lee fight. And I understand that trope is to, like, build suspense and to make it more
impactful. Now, in Fist of Fury, he's fighting from, like, almost the beginning of the
movie. Perfect. if I see a kung fu movie, like the opening scene of Master of the Flying Guillotine, death, perfect. That is exactly what I want to see in a kung fu movie. So he's made this promise, and it's the constant, like, they get off the boat. Well, let's go to see our cousins. They have a job at the mill for you. Wonderful. It's really hot. Let's sit down. They get some shaved ice. Street toughs come up and start hassling the girl shaving ice. And then Bruce Lee, oh, remember your promise. Don't fight. And he looks down at his little amulet.
I did see that.
And he doesn't fight. And you're like, oh my God.
That's
would
Nora
you just
meow again.
Yep. Yeah. And so then he doesn't fight. And then the cousin comes in and fights. And you're like, boy, sure wish the cousin was Bruce Lee. Anyway, so then they go back to the house and there's like a million people in there. And I heard old. This one guy went back to the farm to look for a woman. He's like, no, he never made it back. Weird. Anyway, now they go to the mill, and the opening scene is like, and he's paying this guy in a very svelte business attire lots of money. So you're like, well, I don't think there's that much money in ice. So so basically he's paying him off. They're hiding heroin inside. They just say drugs, but it looks like powder packets of heroin or coke.
Well,
or
yeah,
cocaine,
Asian,
dope, yeah. You know, opiates.
Poppy fields.
Yeah, poppy fields. So they're hiding this in the ice. They, all the workers are great guys. They're all cousins and brothers and friends. They start working, and right off the bat, Bruce Lee's having kind of trouble with the foreman. He's, you know, I don't know. He just is, he doesn't fit into that kind of environment, and he's kind of cocky, and the foreman's a big jerk. So that's kind of going that way.
But he can't fight.
He can't fight. But don't fight. No. Don't fight. So he goes, I'll help because I'm really strong. And he's pushing the ice down. And one falls off this track and smashes open. And two of the cousins come walking over. They're like, hey, that's weird. This is cocaine or opium or whatever. And then the foreman comes over and goes, but you never saw anything. Get out of here. You know, go back to work. And then another foreman comes running up and punches Bruce Lee across the face. And Bruce Lee just touches his cheek and goes, doesn't do anything. Don't fight. And you're like, okay. So he's like, it was my fault. I did it. You know, be careful, you dummy jerk and stupid. So then as they're leaving that day, the foreman goes, hey, you two, the boss wants to see you. These are the two that found the dope that once when the ice broke. And he's like, here's $1,000 each. That's a lot of money, right? And he goes, yeah, why? What are you talking about? He's like, see, we're running dope through this. We want to invite you in because you're such good workers. And they're like, no, that wouldn't be right. But we promise we won't tell anybody. And he's like, okay, well, thanks. You sure won't tell anybody because we're going to murder you. So then the foremans come out and they kill him. And they dispose of him with the saw because this is an industrial ice thing. So there's like big saws going on all the time and everything like that. So then now two more people are missing. So there's a total of three people of this house. They're all living together that just didn't come back. And they're like, what happened? And the whole crew comes up and they're like, what happened to the foreman? And they're like, oh, well, we gave him money. So they probably just went and got women and drunk. They'll just come home drunk. And they're like, that doesn't sound like them. They're really nice guys. And he's like, just get back to work. So then they kind of have like a mini strike and they're like, no, they're not going to do that. And I'm worried I'm going to mix this up. Okay. No, this is what happened. So then it gets violent and they start fighting and the foreman's and Bruce Lee's just standing there. He's just standing there and he's fighting and fighting. And then a truck, because there was also a scene where the boss of the drug people has a crew of kung fu people that he trains. Cause he's a master of martial arts and a drug dealer. And he's really evil and he's really rich and powerful. And he's like, his son is the one who you've seen kind of interacting with the ice factory. Then they send the supervisor calls and he's like, there's trouble down here. So he sends a little mini bus with all the thugs from the boss's house too. Now it's like really on. So finally, and Bruce Lee gets punched across the face again, does nothing, standing there. Then finally they broke the amulet. And now he's like, oh, now the amulet's broken. Now it's on. Now he starts fighting. You're like, thank you, minute 40, or whatever the hell this is. Thanks for finally getting in. So he dispatches of everyone quickly. And then they're like, oh, you can really fight good. Go to the boss's office. So then they make him a supervisor. Shenanigans ensue. He, like, goes to eat with dinner and gets drunk and acts a fool with the bosses. And so now the guys at the house hate him, and still nobody's showed up. So now two more people went. Oh, that's right. That's the other thing. Two more people are gone. So there's a total of five people are missing from this house. And then finally, like, Bruce Lee discovers what's going on, and then he goes and fights, and he's like really angry because all these people are getting killed. The son promises to steal the love interest from the house, who's in love with Bruce Lee. He's like, oh, I saw this little young girl who you love little girls. I'm going to go get her. So he goes and he steals this girl and murders everyone in the house. The bad guy does. Wow. Including like a little kid. They show a little kid with a knife in his back. I'm like, wow. Okay. So now they show Bruce Lee sitting by the river, and he's like, oh, I must avenge their death. This sucks. So he gets up and he like runs over. Now he's just kind of tearing through everyone. Big fight. Kills all the people, the henchmen at the thing. Kills the son. He kills the son earlier. Now it's just boss versus him. The boss has two knives. He's getting beat by Bruce Lee.
That's the end of the movie,
yeah.
Right?
The boss is taking some chunks out of him. I mean, he's not doing terrible against Bruce Lee.
Yeah, because they're fighting like in front of this house or whatever. And he had like these five bodyguards
there.
Yeah,
they're all dead. But they're dead. And now, yeah. So then finally Bruce Lee kills him. And he jumps on the bodies punching him. One of the servants goes and lets the girl out and says, run before he gets free and does horrible things to you, which he's going to. So then Bruce Lee kills the thing. The girl had gotten the cops. The cops come and they're like, okay, well, we're going to take you in. End of movie. You're like, okay, wow. Well, it was a good martial arts movie. I was thankful that they did start having Bruce Lee fight. You know, like I said, that's one of those things where I'm like, come on.
You know what I noticed, though? Because I watched Way of the Dragon. Also, in that movie, Way of the Dragon, Bruce Lee has comedic things going on. So he was trying to expand his... He was almost setting the... Not
he's
all
like,
comedic.
It worked for Jackie Chan. It's going to work
for
me.
Well, yeah, obviously. Well, before Jackie Chan. But he was actually being kind of funny, making faces, as opposed to like in Fist of Fury was all serious.
Yeah,
I'm sure
no,
the Big Boss was all serious.
No comedy.
By the Way of the Dragon, though, if he had his druthers, as they say, he was doing lighthearted stuff, comedian,
little
making
bit.
Faces. He really was setting the template for Jackie Chan in a lot of ways, you know, as well as martial arts. Oh, and by the way, I forgot. This is we'll just talk about it here, but because you'll laugh about this. But I forgot, we were talking on Slow Road about a movie that I watched last week. I talked about Way of the Dragon. You know what else I watched?
What's that?
Walking Tall with Joe Don Baker.
Oh, yikes. God.
You know, if it wouldn't have been for Moonshine, that nothing would have happened to him in that movie.
No. Nope.
We'll have to watch it one day because there's something,
possibly.
I have something to say about
Joe
that.
Don Baker. He's in a lot of the
Final
007
Justice.
Movies.
Final Justice.
Yep. All right, so well, that's it. I mean, obviously it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Very, very rudimentary plot, but they all are. That's kind of part the way it is, you know. I'm gonna go with an 8, same as yours. Nice, serviceable movie. He's a very good martial artist, very good screen presence. So check it out when you can. Fist of Fury, and that's it for this week. We'll see
Fist of Fury or
Chinese
Big
Connection
or
Big
Boss
Man or whatever. All right, my name's Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
We'll see you next week with more Kung Fu greatness, not starring Joe Don Baker in any way. Ever.
Oh, I'm going to look.
Oh, no. Not for Kung Fu Theater, my friend.
He might be in one.
Yuck.